and call the Trade, Technology, and Innovations Committee to order. It's the 24th, pardon me, the 25th of March, and it's 12:25. We were late coming out of session, and we do have a quorum consisting of Senator Hoffman, Senator French, and myself, McGuire, and we're here to hear from Ian Berkheimer from Penware to talk about the 2010 Olympics Pavilion and making it a regional success. So welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman, and other members of the committee. My name is Ian Berkheimer. I'm with the Pacific Northwest Economic Region. I'm Program Manager for Tourism in the 2010 Olympics. So today what I'd like to do is give you an overview of the opportunity that we've been able to put together, particularly with the province of Saskatchewan and the state of Oregon, to have the entire region have a location at the 2010 Olympics where they can showcase their tourism opportunities, their innovation opportunities, share about the diversity and communities of the Pacific Northwest, as well as tell the stories of how we are working to maintain and build a sustainable development within our region. So I'm going to try to, in the interest of time, I'm going to go through it a little bit rapidly and give you then hopefully a chance to ask questions. The 2010 Olympics, so they will be happening in less than a year now in Vancouver. About 3 billion people will watch the Olympics in one form or another. That means as well as video, newspaper, radio, internet, what's called new media. So it's just under half of the world's population will have some interaction with the games.
Amazing.
Just to give you an idea of the exposure, in the United States, the amount of time people will be watching the games on average for each of those individual American viewers will be about 6.5 hours, although the Canadian side of the border will probably be watching about 15 to 18 hours of actual television time during the games. There'll be about 250,000 visitors coming from outside the British Columbia marketplace to the games, and 5,500 athletes from around the world. Luckily, I think there'll be a number from Alaska and other parts of the Pacific Northwest. One of the things we want to do is help use this opportunity, a very unique one. There may never be another time we have 3 billion eyes on us to share our stories with the world. And one of the major pathways to do that is the over 15,000 media. Actually, that number has recently been revised up to about 18,000 media that will be coming from around the world to cover the games. Of that, about 5,000 are what are called accredited media. These are media personnel with NBC and in Canada, CTV. They pay rights to broadcast the sports. The other 10,000 folks are coming, don't have rights to broadcast the sports, but they're looking for stories. And this is one of the places where we want to have the opportunity to help tell the stories of Alaska and our other partners within the region. Interest in the games is very high. $345 million worth of tickets were pre-ordered. For those of you, I heard you speaking earlier about getting your tickets. There are still a few available. There is a new ticketing round happening right now, but that represents almost all the tickets available for the game. Actually, that number is more than 10 times the number of tickets available. The demand was that high for most of the tickets for the games. And for the Canadian marketplace is, of course, the largest one in the world for this Olympics and the most ever sold in the host country. Within the United States, the two largest marketplaces are Washington State and California. So that's kind of the overall environment that the games will be bringing to Vancouver, one of the gateways to the Pacific Northwest. And through our partnership, in particular with the province of Saskatchewan, we've been able to acquire, not to boast too much, but the best location at the 2010 games to do outreach with visitors to the games and also do work with the media. If you look here on this map, I'm going to actually change to a different one here in just a moment, but BC Place Stadium is the home to the opening and closing ceremonies. Immediately adjacent to that, the other stadium right here, this is the home to the hockey events. The Athletes Village, I'll go ahead and move here. Athletes Village is here in the foreground. This is the primary pathway for people to come to the games. Over 2 million people will be coming to the games, coming to events here in these two stadia during the Olympics. And our current estimations with the most recent transportation plan is that there will be about 1.5 million coming by our site during the course of the games. This just gives you kind of a general overview of the different components of the downtown area. This really is the center of the Olympics. In the foreground is the Athletes' Village. The sphere that you see on the far right-hand side, that's Science World. They have not announced it yet, but a large national, international organization will be having a pavilion there. CTV is the Olympic rights broadcast holder for Canada. They will be having a television site right where it says CTV there. Province of Saskatchewan will be having a pavilion. Quebec, Ontario, and of high interest, as you can imagine, in Canada, is Hockey Canada will be directly next to us. It's very likely that this will be the last Olympics where NHL hockey players are actually part of the games. So we expect that to be a very large draw. So in order to maximize this opportunity, we're looking at a very highly visible means to reach the audiences that will be coming to the 2010 Olympics, including the media. This is an overview of our site plan. This large tent represents Hockey Canada. This is the province of Ontario here, the province of Quebec right here. These two spaces have yet to be decided. These are fillers, but this is our combined Pacific Northwest Saskatchewan area as currently envisioned. We'll be using very large projection spheres. These buildings are the larger sphere that you see there, 60 feet high. You can project HD imagery on it that can be seen on both the inside and the outside. The smaller dome is 30 feet high, and again, you can project imagery on it. One of the great opportunities are, as is the Pacific Northwest Economic Region, this is also a public-private partnership. But for our public entities, there's many restrictions on the brands that you can show for private entities. But for public entities such as the state of Alaska, we can show imagery and marks and brands that we can't do with private sector.
And Ian, as you're walking us through, can you tell us the $250,000 that we have in the budget for it, what that essentially gets you as a state?
Absolutely. Let me go ahead and I'll go through kind of the rest of the graphical components. Hopefully you also have a proposal, this proposal that you should receive. I was told Joe
yes.
would be handing out. It has a lot more in-depth information. So again, the graphical components are here. We do have food and beverage space. This is one portion that's not included in the public sector investment. We do have retail opportunities, so some of our public sector partners that are currently evaluating this do have interest in sharing cultural-related items and selling cultural-related items, and that's included in as part of the sponsorship. There's also included in the sponsorship is the opportunity to take part in our regional media center. There will be three media centers at the Olympics. There will be the accredited media center, which I covered a bit what the accredited media was initially. Their high focus is on sports. There will be an unaccredited media center run by the province of British Columbia, about six blocks away. And then there will be our regional media center. So one of the major components for public sector involvement is the opportunity to reach out to the world's media and have a location where you can invite them for press conferences, share content with them, and use it to do your state's outreach to the media. Another component is, moving on a little bit. The other component is to do business-to-business outreach within the pavilion, also to have an Alaska Day. Mm-hmm. One of the things this is very important for every one of the participants in the games, is to have a day where we really showcase Alaska. We do highly recommend, and this is a State of Oregon's recommendation, that might be a day to bring down governors or political leaders, business leaders, and also embrace your athletes that are taking part in the games. So this is in a way an Alaska House that you can use throughout the games for on a broad-based scale, and then on one day during the games.
Absolutely. Senator French.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think most of us would be happy to accommodate an Alaska day and to visit if you can do something about the ticket situation.
Yep. There
kidding.
You go.
For the record, just kidding. Little joke.
So, and Ian, on this day that would be ours, and I wanted the members to understand, too, we've spent a few years now looking at all kinds of different things, and one proposal at one point was to do our own Alaska House. It was very expensive, very difficult to find the real estate. So this concept of a regional pavilion came together through Ian's leadership so that we could all, you know, and also share the cost so that it's affordable. But on this Alaska Day, is there a stage area where we could bring in like Bumua, you know, some of our native dancing?
Absolutely. In fact, just to give you a general overview of how we envision this, depending on the number of partners, we will do both a dome and a sphere. With our full implementation, the sphere that you see that has a 720 degrees, that's 360 degrees you can see inside, 360 degrees outside. That's a performance and hospitality area to do exactly that. One of the things that's very interesting for this Olympics and talking about, is it Bumua?
Bumua,
sorry. I've seen them before. But we can project live what's happening inside on the outside of the sphere. And I have seen them in performance before, and so I think that's something that can be very compelling. And some of how the story they tell as they perform.
The Senate choir could perform too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
We may have some restrictions on that, sir.
And
thank you.
And for the Senate president and co-chairman of finance here, the reason I really wanted them to hear this as well is that, you know, depending on the relationship with the third floor in any given day, this may be an opportunity for the legislature to take a leadership role. And a thought would be that in our Senate caucus that we look around to the regions of our state, so that in Western Alaska there are some products or some musicians that want to be highlighted. In Kodiak there's, you know, some kind of, if it's crab or whatever that we're going to highlight, and so on. So that's why I really wanted the background for the Senate.
Absolutely. One of the very important, there's two very important components to this Olympics that are very different from Olympics in the past. For the first time ever, Aboriginals, the First Nations, are full partners in the Olympics. The chairman of the board is Métis. If you're familiar with Canadian First Nations, they are a mixed heritage from the central part of Canada. And Chief Gibby Joseph from the Squamish Nation sits on the board of directors as well. One of the goals for this Olympics is to highlight Aboriginal Native culture. And that's another thing that we think Alaska has a unique opportunity and also a unique value to us as a region to help showcase. And there is an organization called the Four Host First Nations that we have been working with. They are full partners with the Olympics. We are working with some of the tribes in Washington State. In fact, one of the partners we're negotiating with right now will have a presence at the Olympics in one form or another. And part of that is because there's such strong interest in Aboriginal stories. And that's something that the media will also be very interested in. The other component is sustainability. For the first time ever, the three pillars of the games are sports, culture, and sustainability. So we do want to tell the stories of innovation. And we talk about sustainability. This goes across the spectrum of environmental sustainability, financial and sustainability, and the cultural and social sustainability,
and
things such as food and water. So these are the stories that we want to be able to tell on the public-facing side. When you come inside, there will be more opportunities for private companies to showcase themselves. Going back to this, we have the hospitality and performance sphere, and then The double dome structure would be where public walks through, and the public be going through it at a rate of about 500 people per hour for the 17 days of the games. Although operationally, we will start operating before the Olympics, and operate through the Paralympics, probably with limited operations during the Paralympics, as it's a smaller event with a smaller number of people coming. We'll also have a food and beverage area and the media center. That will be within a tent-type structure, maybe a more traditional tent that you might have seen at other events. These are very high-quality tent structures. And so I can go through some of the other slides. It's a kind of reiteration of some of the things we've gone over. But one of the things we want to make sure and do is not just talk about the tourism story. Talk about the stories that are compelling for visitors to come back, investors to come back, and the general public to look at our region as a place for innovation, resources, ideas, and solutions. And that's one of the things that we want to make this an opportunity to really take that message to. We may not be able to get it to all 3 billion people, but smallest percentage of that, maybe a couple hundred million. And so in terms of the investment, it's $250,000 for each private sector member. Unfortunately, the costs associated with this are very high. The land itself is $55 per square foot. Initially, and this is a very interesting situation, we were looking at a much different location. However, the traffic patterns would not be as good, and the media coverage would not be as good. And so some, particularly the state of Washington and Oregon, strongly said that we need to have a better location. So this is the opportunity. And the $250,000 investment is much smaller than our partner province, the province of Saskatchewan, as they're investing about $6.2 million. In their full Olympic sponsorship, although they are a partner with the Vancouver Olympic Committee. They had to pay a significantly higher amount. One last note, we have been invited by the Olympic Committee to become a partner, although at this point, and even if we become a partner with the Olympic Committee, we would be the only American entity to have a direct relationship with the Vancouver Olympic Committee. But we are and will be what's called outside the fence. This means that the companies that make Alaska great, if they're not Olympic sponsors, they can still be involved within the tent.
Oh, that's great. Senator Hoffman.
When is the decision-making window on the $250,000, and what are the dates for the Winter Olympics?
The decision-making timeline, right now the land that we have is held on an option. And so we have to exercise that option in April. And I understand that with the legislative process, that's actually somewhat similar to probably what your timeline is, although I understand that were there a state investment, that probably could not flow until the new fiscal year, and we do have some flexibility in that. But we do have to let the landowner know by the end of April how much land we are going to go forward with. Right now we have 20,000 square feet, but we will probably go with a slightly smaller implementation due to the current marketplace.
And the Olympics?
The Olympics start on the 12th of February and run 17 days. And the Paralympics start on the 12th of March and run for 10 days. We will start operations on about the 1st of February. Good thing with the tent structure, takes a couple of days to build. The inflatable spheres, which you can walk through, it's absolutely a very important part of it. They take actually about 24 hours to build.
So, and Senator Hoffman, our committee is going to get together later before we leave session to talk about what we want to do in the coming year. But one of the ideas that I had in chairing this committee was that we would take a delegation to go to the Olympics. And if we end up partnering in the dome, that we would center it around the Alaska Day. Yep. that we have. And then again, bringing in the regional perspective of the members, certainly at least of the Senate. And who could be highlighted, what goods and what things could be highlighted. But it's in a line item from my office right now. Senator French.
I'm just curious. I don't see anyone here from the administration. What communication or overtures or level of interest you're getting from the third floor?
One of the joys and challenges of my job is I work with 9 states, provinces, and a territory. So I don't know exactly the structure within this state. However, I met with Mike Black and Joe Osterman with the Economic Community Development Department, as well as Odin Brody and Shelley James and Carol McConkey. So I
yes.
Don't know how they integrate with the the governor's office, but they mentioned that they were interested in helping on that side. So, and I'm happy. Well, I'm not able to travel to Juneau that often, especially on a beautiful day like today. I'm very happy to continue via phone and email contact with those you might recommend to make sure that that's addressed.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, I have to run for
absolutely.
To get ready for
the next step. Thank you, Senator French. And we will continue communicating with them. But my thought is that, in all candor, that we probably ought to take our own leadership role in this regard. And if they join on, great.
The in the timeline, all of our states and provinces are currently in evaluation. And so we do understand that you know, being an appropriation, there's some time limits on it and how it can work. I do want to again point out there's much more detail within the packet, the red packet.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions for Ian? Okay. Thank you. We appreciate you coming. And if you can leave copies of this on a thumb drive.
Absolutely.
It'd be great. And that way other members that show interest, we can get this to them. Okay. With that, we're adjourned.